Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Indiva Limited Q1 2021 earnings conference call. If at any time during this call you need assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on June 1st, 2021. I would now like to turn the conference over to Niel Marotta, CEO of Indiva. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning to discuss Indiva's financial results for the first quarter ended March 31, 2021. Matters discussed in this conference call include forward-looking statements. Each forward-looking statement is subject to risks and uncertainties that would cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in such statements. Certain material factors and assumptions were considered and applied in making these forward-looking statements. Additional information regarding these forward-looking statements, factors, and assumptions is available in our earnings press release issued today, as well as in the Risk Factors section of the quarterly MD&A and other public disclosure documents available on Indiva's SEDAR profile. We're pleased to report financial results for the first quarter of 2021. Net revenue more than tripled year-over-year, primarily driven by sales of edible products, where Indiva remains the national leader by market share. Revenue declined somewhat sequentially from Q4, mainly due to a combination of temporary challenges resulting from provincial lockdowns due to COVID, coupled with a very difficult comparison against strong selling of new Wana gummy products in Q4 of 2020. Weakness in January and February was offset by strength in March, which saw a new record in monthly net revenue for the company, driven in part by the introduction of Wana Quick gummies. More importantly, gross margins did improve in the quarter, both sequentially and year-over-year, as lower distillate costs began to positively impact the cost of finished goods. The majority of the benefit from lower cost cannabis inputs is yet to be realized, and we expect this positive trend and improvement in gross margins to continue into Q2 2021 and beyond. Looking back at Q1 2021, some operational highlights include the company closed a 22 million dollar debt and equity financing and strategic investment from Sundial. This financing significantly improved Indiva's balance sheet and boosted our working capital position, with cash balance at the end of the quarter standing at 7.1 million. The company also introduced three new Wana products called Wana Quick in Q1 2021, bringing our Wana gummy SKU count to 10. Wana Quick is designed to create faster onset, which consumers may experience with this product. Wana Quick gummies are now available in six provinces and one territory, and we expect the product will be available shortly through our medical distribution partners, including the Medical Cannabis by Shoppers platform. Indiva signed an extension for the life of our licensing agreement with Wana Brands in Q1 for up to 20 years, where Indiva maintains the exclusive right to produce and distribute Wana Sour gummies in Canada. As a reminder, Indiva originally signed the agreement with Wana just over a year ago, and we shipped our first gummies in September of 2020. These products have really only been in market for 9 months now, and we've had just a terrific reception from customers and clients. In Q1 and into Q2, Indiva introduced new strains under our premium craft cannabis brand, Artisan Batch, including D Bubba from Canandaigua. These new strains have very high potency levels and strong terpene profiles, which are the hallmarks of the Artisan Batch brand. Subsequent to quarter end, Indiva successfully introduced two new Bhang chocolate flavors, cookies and cream white chocolate, as well as Bhang caramel mocha milk chocolate, bringing our Bhang SKU count to seven. Both flavors have been well-received, and Indiva is receiving follow-up purchase orders now from provincial wholesalers. Again, as a reminder, Indiva shipped its first Bhang chocolates in February of 2020, so these products have been in market for 16 months now, 7 months longer than Wana. Looking forward, the company expects sequential net revenue growth to resume in Q2 2021 and to hit new record levels, given strong demand and purchase orders received to date in Q2 from provincial wholesalers and medical channel partners. Gross margins are also expected to continue to improve. Turning to April market share from Hifyre, we once again saw an increase in market share to 48% of the edible category, a new record, and up from 46% in March on a national level. In addition, Indiva has captured greater than 50% market share in the gummy sub category nationally and over 30% market share of the chocolate subcategory nationally. Product ranking in April 2021 showed the top five edible SKUs were Wana Sour gummies, led by Strawberry Lemonade, and seven of the top 10 edible SKUs are from Indiva, with both Wana and Bhang continuing to lead their respective subcategories. Separately, Headset data for the month of April 2021 showed 8 of the top 9 edible products in Ontario were Indiva products. According to OCS data for the month of April, Indiva has moved up the ranks on an overall market share basis, ranking 9th amongst over 100 LPs and ranking 12th nationally overall as per Hifyre data. Note that our national ranking as per Hifyre data rises to 10th if we exclude Quebec, where Indiva's edible products are not available through the SQDC, rather only through medical channel partners. Also note that sales from medical channels do not show up in the market share numbers we discuss, as this only reflects recreational cannabis sales. Also please note going forward, the company will continue to address market share with its quarterly reporting of financial results as opposed to monthly press releases. I'd like to take a minute to thank all of Indiva's employees, including the staff at our facility in London, Ontario, for their continued hard work in a tough environment as we continue to scale up our output. Thank you, and I'm sure cannabis enthusiasts everywhere in Canada, thank you too. I'll now turn it over to Indiva's Chief Financial Officer, Jennifer Welsh, to review the financial results in greater detail.
Thank you, Neil. I will review Indiva's financial performance for fiscal Q1 2021. Gross revenue in the first quarter grew 203% year-over-year to $6.87 million. However, it did experience a 10.4% sequential decline from Q4 2020. Net revenue grew 209% year-over-year, but declined 11.8% sequentially to $6.22 million in the quarter. The strong year-over-year growth was driven mainly by the strength in our core edible products, offset by challenges presented in the first quarter due to provincial lockdowns and difficult sequential comparisons against record sell-in of Wana gummy products in Q4 2020. Overall, edibles represented 89% of net revenue in Q1 2021 for the company. Operational gross margin, defined as gross margin before fair value adjustments and impairments, increased to 19% versus 12.3% in Q4 2020 and 2.4% in Q1 2020, as the company benefited from lower distillate costs. I would like to highlight that the gross margins in Q1 only partially reflect the benefit of lower cost distillate and finished goods, with the majority of the benefit yet to be realized in gross margins. The company continued to work down finished goods inventory containing expensive distillate in the first quarter and has worked through substantially all finished goods containing high-cost distillate during Q1. As a result, the company expects to see continued gross margin improvement in Q2 and in the second half of 2021. Operating expenses decreased 12.5% in the first quarter versus Q4 2020, but increased 40% year-over-year due to higher sales commissions linked to sales growth, offset by lower admin costs. Adjusted EBITDA improved sequentially and year-over-year to a loss of $524,000 in the first quarter versus a loss of $1.16 million in the same period last year and a loss of $1.2 million in Q4 2020. Comprehensive loss was $3 million in Q1 2021 versus $6.9 million in Q4 2020 and $2.4 million in Q1 2020. Comprehensive loss in the quarter included one-time expenses and non-cash charges, including inventory write-downs totaling $1.53 million. One-time expense and non-cash charges for the quarter included inventory write-downs of $807,000 for out-of-spec product, age inventory, and obsolete packaging, and onerous contract charges related to timing differences in deliveries against our third-party manufacturing contracts. Including all one-time expenses and non-cash charges, comprehensive loss per share in Q1 2021 was 3 cents versus a per share loss of 3 cents in the year ago period and a loss per share of 6 cents in Q4 2020. Turning to the balance sheet, the cash balance improved significantly to $7.1 million at quarter end, and working capital has swung to a positive $6.1 million, primarily due to net proceeds received from the closing of the Sundial investment in February 2021.
Thank you, Jen. Operator, I think with that, we'll open it up to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star, followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star, followed by two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from Robert Garhavar from Small Capital Investment. Robert, please go ahead.
Good morning, and congratulations, guys, on the top line in a very tough environment. Considering we've had, you've launched the product, the gummies here in September, virtually with locked stores, closed stores since. So very impressive numbers on the top line. Can you maybe just give me a little more color? You sold, I believe it was in Q4 of 2020, about 35 million grams of distillate. I believe the price, your cost at that time was about 5 cents, and I've sort of, my forecast has sort of showed that you brought that down to 2 cents. Can you give me a little more color on that? And I know maybe it might be a little difficult to give some guidance, but maybe the prices of the CBD compared to THC on that, on the distillate going forward, which you brought that cost down to. I guess that's what helped your margins going forward here.
Yeah, that definitely had an impact. Thanks for the kind words, Robert. And specifically on the distillate, you're right. We were somewhere around 5 cents per milligram on average in Q4. And we did sell around 35 million milligrams in Q4. That's amongst all our products. And not every product has the same number of milligrams. And when you looked at Q1, the total milligrams were probably down about 10 to 15%. But the distillate costs were down, let's say, about 25% from Q4. But we've got a long way further to go. So that would be sort of, call it 3.5 to 4 cents would be our average distillate cost in Q1 versus, say, 5 cents in Q4. And just to give you some perspective, we're probably closer to 1.5 cents in Q2 so far. So, an even bigger decline should come through in the numbers for Q2. And in terms of spot purchases that we think would probably affect the second half, we're below a penny. So this is why we feel so strongly that we'll continue to see this margin improvement in Q2 and then in the second half of the year as well, Robert.
Okay. Just a follow-up question for you, and this is sort of based on the OCS's data. They haven't released their Q4. Their Q4 ending is, or year end is January, February, March, but up until Q3, Q1, they had 4.3%. In your edible category, went down to 4%. Their Q2 went to 4.5% in their Q3, which was your Q4. Of the overall market in Ontario. Have you seen or do you have any guidance or have you seen anything that shows that we're sort of ramping up from that 4.5% certainly in Ontario, or are we getting to 4.6 and beyond that? Where do you see that ultimately ending up, at a 6, 7, 8, 10% market share?
Yeah, so to answer the first question, I wouldn't want anyone to think that all of a sudden we're at 5 or 6% kind of overnight. I would call it a continuing to grind higher. And
right.
For those that are interested, we put a new presentation on our website that we'll use for our 2 p.m. Presentation today that goes through some of these numbers on a national basis. So people can really get a good idea of how big the edible market is, how it's broken down, and what it looks like as a percentage of the total pie. In terms of where we think it's going to go, when we look at mature markets, in the U.S., pretty consistently it's over 10%, and in some cases it gets in even to the high teens, depending on the market and the time of year. So, 4, 4.5%. Again, part of the difference here also is that edibles are not in Quebec, so it's not in the numerator, but it's against the denominator. So that number would be north of 5 if you took Quebec out of the data. So I would say that the category should at least double as a percentage of the total pie here. And the time frame is, I guess, anyone's guess. But I think as new products come to market, as we innovate, and as the economy opens up and customers can go into stores and get educated about edibles, we think that'll help.
Okay. Sorry, and just one final question for you. Do you have a number in mind in terms of how many milligrams of of distillate you need to sell before you get to sort of the to a bottom line where we've got something on the bottom line? You know, is it 80 million, 100 million? Is there anything that you might be able to throw our way and add a little bit of color? Or
It might be a little dangerous to give guidance on a specific number of milligrams, but I don't think it would be – well, I'll put it to you this way. In Q1, we sold 30 million milligrams, and our EBITDA was negative half a million. So I don't think we would need 80 million milligrams to be EBITDA positive. So we need – I would say lower than your 80 million number, but definitely higher than the 30 million we just did.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Okay, it appears there are no further questions. Neil, I'll turn it back to you for closing remarks.
Yeah, well, thanks everyone for attending the call. We look forward to speaking to you again soon when we release Q2, which should be mid to late August. And for those that are interested, I will be hosting an investor presentation at 2 p.m. Eastern today. You can find that link on our website along with all the other documents, our presentation, and corporate filings. So thanks, everybody, for your time, and we'll look forward to chatting again soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.